Do you find yourself saying, if I could think differently, or if I could stop thinking blank, then I could finally make this intuitive eating thing work for me? This is a broken strategy, my friend, and you need to understand that you have three brains involved in making you successful with intuitive eating. So dive in and listen to this episode. Welcome to the Love Your Food, Love Yourself, Love Your Life podcast. I am Tammy, your fun-loving and often quirky host. I have been a dietitian for close to 20 years where I've helped countless women transform not only their relationship with food, but more importantly, themselves. I believe to my core that as you start peeling back the layers to loving your food and yourself, you end up loving your life like never before. And now is the time, my friend. It is time to break up with diet culture, shift your current stories, rev up your internal wisdom, and recognize that every body, regardless of size, not only deserves dignity and respect, but can be healthy because your habits and how you love on yourself is truly what matters. In this podcast, we have real conversations about struggles, insecurities, and false beliefs with loving ourselves and each other through the lens of curiosity, anti-judgment, intuitive eating, spirituality, journaling, and a heaping dose of laughter, maybe some tears, but always a whole lot of realness. Hey friends, it's Tammy Lance here. And today I'm sharing this episode with my good friend and biz bestie, Beth Basham. Hey, Beth.
Hey, Tammy. So great to be here.
Awesome. Thanks for being here. And today I would like to give you this really beautiful introduction to help guide you into this topic. But you know what? I'm just going to say it. You can't think your way into intuitive eating. You literally just can't. Okay. And what we mean here is this: you can't think your way into intuitive eating using your rational brain. You can't use just your head, because this is not how your entire body is made to work. You've probably heard us talking about the brain in past episodes because, let's face it, Beth and I love talking about the brain. So we are going to talk about it some more today, but we're also going to talk about the two other brains in your body, because the reality is all three of the brains within your body all work together. Thoughts, feelings, and emotions are all chemical messengers that are not only processed in your head brain, they are processed in all three of your brains. And they each have their own reactions, and they affect your entire body and your experience. So understanding how all of these brains work together will really help you to become an intuitive eater. And you'll discover why you can't just head think your way into intuitive eating. So stay with me here, because this is going to make a lot more sense as we dive into this topic. Before we start talking about the other brains that are involved in your body, let's review your head brain. You know, the one right inside your head, the one you're likely already aware of, the one that you're using to listen to this podcast and connect with the senses in your, from your eyes and your nose and your ears and all of that. Now, this brain, your head brain, has several parts, and we go into this in other episodes, so I don't want to dive too much into that. So today, what we're going to do is just do a little bit of a highlight of the three parts of this head brain that you need to be aware of as you're embarking on this intuitive eating journey. So the first part of your head brain is the neocortex, and this neocortex really provides you with rational thoughts. This is likely the part of your brain that you're the most aware of, because this is where all of your decision-making thoughts are coming from. You know, you're probably thinking, do I eat this? Do I eat that? Am I hungry? Am I not? Do I like this episode? Do I not? Right? However, if you were to only use this part of your brain, you are going to stay stuck in that diet mentality, because this is really what diet culture plays on. They activate this part of your brain. And if you continue in this, you'll just stay stuck in diet mentality. Okay. And this episode is going to help you really break away from just using that. So now what I want to do is highlight a second part of your head brain. This is also called the reptilian part of your brain, which really provides you with instincts for survival and is actually making your decisions for you before you even realize the decision has been made. Your reptilian brain is responsible for your habits and about really 90 to 95% of your actions. Again, we will not go into depth on this part of your brain because this is something that Beth and I talk about at exhaustion, and we've talked about it in several other episodes. So if you're curious about the reptilian part of the brain, we can maybe link some episodes for you to listen to just about that part of the brain. Now, the third part of your head brain is your limbic brain. And this limbic brain is involved in your behavioral and emotional responses. So I don't want to dive too deep into the functioning of the limbic system within the head brain because I want to help you understand really much more about how the emotional responses correlate with the other parts of our brain. And so with further ado, I want to actually turn this over to Beth where she can start to review that second brain that we're going to talk about today.
Yay. Okay. So all of the listeners are probably like, what are they? We don't have three brains. What is Tammy talking about?
I know.
And I remember when I was introduced to this concept, I was a little bit boggled by this entire notion that there was more than one brain in our bodies. So if you're listening and you're wondering what in the world, where are they going with this? I'm excited to talk about the second brain of the body, because I find it is such a crucial part of becoming an intuitive eater, but also really connecting with your intuition in general. So people hear the word intuitive eating and they have their own reaction to that, right? Based on their head brain, what's going on between their ears, what they've learned about intuition or that word intuitive. And so they might decide that it is for them or is not for them just based on the word itself, right? So the second brain that I'm excited to chat with you about right now is the heart brain. And you might be wondering, heart brain, what do you mean? And it's really interesting to discover that our heart, that little beating organ just inside of your chest, is full of all kinds of neuropathways, electromagnetic energy, and all kinds of stuff, right? There is so much going on in our heart, and we don't necessarily pay much more attention to it than just thinking to ourselves, oh, this is what pumps the blood through our body. But in fact, the heart does so much more, okay? And, you know, just a good example of this is the reaction that you might have, like say when you fall in love or you fall out of love, or there's a test, like in school, in your schooling days, you know, before you took a test, your heart rate changes based on your external environment. So when you fall in love, you might notice that your heart beats faster. You might notice that when you're relaxed, your heart beats slower. When you're feeling anxious or worried, again, the heart rhythm changes. And there's an entire body of research on this heart brain that I'm talking about, and it's called heart math. I invite anybody who's curious about the second brain we're chatting about now to check out heartmath.org to learn more about this. But I do want to introduce you at least to a degree so you understand why this brain is so important on the intuitive eating journey. But the truth be told, you actually have more neural pathways running from your heart to your brain, then from your brain to your heart. Okay. So just imagine like a superhighway running from your heart to your brain. Okay. It's got several lanes. There is a lot of traffic, but in the reverse, there's fewer traffic lanes coming from the brain to the heart. Okay. And this is important because it showcases this idea that we have a lot of information in our heart that is being shared with the head brain. So I say brain, and I want to make sure I classify it as head brain, heart brain, and then we have a third brain that I know Tammy's going to dive into. But just know that the electromagnetic field, okay, this field of energy around the heart extends for, well, can you guess? Can you guess how far the electromagnetic field, and this is research-based, I'm not just making this up off the cuff, but we have an electromagnetic field around our heart that extends at least 6 feet away from our body. And it may actually extend further, but the technology that we currently have is only able to measure it out to 6 feet. So, I mean, this is amazing, everyone, because in comparison, Tammy, do you know how far the electromagnetic field extends around the brain, the head brain?
You know, I've heard different things around the head brain, and I think I've heard it that it depends upon what state you're in. So if it's kind of a day-to-day walking around, I believe it's only a few inches. It's not even in the feet category. However, there is some research, I think, that shows if you're doing meditation or hypnosis or something like that, that the electromagnetic field may expand further than those typical few inches, but the typical is within the inches from my understanding.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's my understanding too, Tammy, is that we have, again, day to day, we're not talking about getting into those higher states of consciousness, but day to day, the head brain's electromagnetic field is a few inches. Again, by comparison, the heart brain is up to 6 feet or larger. And this is on a regular basis. Now, when we're in negative thought patterns and we're in more of a fight or flight type of space in our nervous system, that heart energy actually shrinks.
Mm-hmm.
But when we're feeling open and connected and supported and in love and content and joy, when we're experiencing those more renewing emotions, that's when the field around the heart starts to expand. Okay. And this is also why some of you might experience when you walk into a room, and let's just say you walk into a room where two people were just fighting. Okay, they're just fighting about something, and you can literally cut the air with a knife, right? You can feel the energy radiating off of the people who are just in this negative state, right? Fighting with one another. On the reverse, if you walk into a room of people that are full of joy and excitement, maybe they're celebrating something, again, you can feel that, right? And this is happening. This is called resonance. You're feeling what other people are experiencing because of this heart energy exchange. Isn't that cool? So now you're wondering, okay, what does this have to do with intuitive eating? Hello. Well, I just wanted to give you the background because this might be a very new concept to you. But the idea here is that we have a lot of intelligence in our heart. And when we begin to learn how to regulate our heart rate and bring it into what the Heart Math Institute calls coherence, where we're in a, like our heart rhythm is working really well. It's very balanced. It's very, if you look on like the charts, it's going up and down at a very even pace. And like we have biofeedback instruments we can use to measure that, but you can actually just feel it if you practice, listening to your heart and working with some of the breath practices that come through the Heart Math Institute. But the idea here is when we get our heart into a coherent state, this actually has an impact on the entire physiology of the body. And it helps bring the nervous system to a place where we feel safe and connected. And when we feel safe and connected, that's when we can fully connect to our hunger, our fullness, our satisfaction factor, all of these things that happen within the context of intuitive eating when it is working. But you see, if our heart is dysregulated, if we're not in coherence, if we're in a depleted emotional state, it's much more difficult to feel our hunger and our fullness and feel as though we can honor those different cues that are coming from the body. So again, if you're just thinking with your head brain, you're shooting on yourself. I should be able to listen to my hunger and stop when I'm full and whatever. You're starting to get into that overthinking space and your heart is not in coherence or it's irregular and it's worried and it's stressed and it's all over the place. You won't be able to find that intuitive eating sense that you would otherwise. So by connecting with your heart brain, this wise and amazing intelligent part of your body, you're missing out on an opportunity to more deeply connect with you. And that's really what intuitive eating is all about, right? It's about connecting with all elements of your body, not just what's going on between your ears, but what's going on and how your entire body responds. So we know that when you're in a coherent state, you decrease the risk of disease, you decrease all kinds of like test anxiety. They've studied children, and I could go on and on and on about the research behind heart math. So maybe I'll just stop there. But to say that when our heart is in coherence, and that's simply like regulating the rhythm of our heartbeat, when that happens and we're in that more renewed emotional state as a result, our entire system, our entire body operates a lot more efficiently. And that lends itself to us becoming more intuitive and more intuitive eaters as a result.
And I think you all can probably tell now why I didn't want to talk too much about the emotional pieces within the brain in our limbic system, because as Beth just so eloquently described, the brain within the heart is far, far more powerful and effective at that emotional, you know, management piece. And one thing, Beth, that I wanted to also highlight is that this is something that you bring into your group coaching program, because not only is it easier to be able to recognize hunger and fullness and satisfaction, but utilizing heart coherence and heart breathing, one is able to also receive coaching and be able to receive new knowledge and be able to integrate these things into their life. Because if you're in a state of the heart is feeling imbalanced, you're likely not going to be able to bring anything new into your awareness, and you will not be able to learn, basically.
Yeah, you hit it on the head. We do what's called heart-focused breathing at the beginning of all of the calls I do with my clients, because it does. It brings our attention and our awareness into the present moment, which we talked about is another important element of becoming an intuitive eater, is learning how to be in your present moment body and listen to it, not only just for food awareness, like you mentioned, but also for learning and for being receptive and open to the information that's needed in that moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, such good stuff. And I am now so excited to talk about our third brain. And can you believe it? We have a whole entire third brain, not only one, not only two, but we actually have three brains. And this is one of my favorite ones to talk about. And that third brain within your body is your gut brain. And this may be something you have some awareness on, right? Because if you've ever said things like, oh, I have knots in my stomach because of how you're feeling, or maybe you have butterflies in your tummy, or maybe you're just like, I just have a gut feeling, you know, about something. Your gut is also an intuition center. And this is on a very cellular level. So it's not just a, am I a hungry or full level, right? Our gut goes way, way beyond just identifying hunger and fullness. And so today we'll start to talk a little bit about the capabilities of the gut brain going beyond just hunger and fullness, but I probably won't be able to cover, you know, all of it. Okay. And the reality is the capabilities of the gut brain are not even fully understood by our current medical science world. Now, it has gained a lot more traction and research in recent years, and it's been, you know, discovered that 80 to, you know, 90% of our body's serotonin is actually produced in the gut. And this serotonin is a hormone that is involved in mood management, right? It's the hormone, it's the good feeling hormone that elevates our mood. But now, you know, before I go on to talking about the amazing beautifulness of the gut brain, I just want to say, you know, be cautious with this information that I just shared about the serotonin being, you know, so impactful in the gut, because here's the thing, diet culture has started to attach this information. And now there's a lot of, you know, quote unquote, nutrition interventions out there, such as amino acid therapy and such being promoted to basically help with mood disorders. And so I'm not going to say that this is, you know, not possible. I'm just saying that you need to be very cautious with that information, because on some level it is diet culture saying, here, let's use this food to fix you as a problem. And I just want to highlight that anyone out there listening, you're not a problem. Your emotions are not a problem. Your moods are not a problem to be fixed. Okay. So I just want to kind of give that caveat to that little statement. All right. But moving on to talking about the amazing capabilities of the gut is that, you know, what's being studied out there is called the gut-brain axis. Okay. So I'm curious if anyone out there listening has heard of this terminology, the gut-brain axis. And, you know, it's been really coined as a together phrase because it's been discovered that these two brains of our body, so again, that head brain and that gut brain, are very connected, and they're connected by the vagus nerve, or what we could also refer to as the elevator nerve. And it's an elevator nerve because it's a nerve that can go both ways. It can go up to the brain, down to the gut, up to the brain, down to the gut, and, you know, and vice versa. This vagus nerve is a communication system really that uses hormones and neurotransmitters and, you know, and all of these things that are happening within the body without you having to tell it to happen, right? This is just how amazing the body is all of these things are happening without you having to tell it to happen. Okay. But this connection between the gut and the brain really ties in that connection between the emotional state and the gastrointestinal functioning. Okay. And vice versa. So this is why, you know, we see it so clearly documented that those that suffer from irritable bowel disease report their symptoms are either, you know, worse or better depending upon their emotional state. And I don't know about you, Beth, but, you know, in my experience of working with clients with gastrointestinal challenges, what I have typically observed in the past is that if someone generally has more anxious types of emotions and they're feeling more kind of, you know, fluttering and more heart racing and, you know, and just more of that anxiousness type of thinking, more often than not, they also experience more loose bowels or diarrhea or urgency issues when it comes to their, you know, gut challenges. Or on the flip side, right? Someone who maybe has more, you know, worry and they're feeling a little bit more trapped kind of, you know, in their emotions, they oftentimes experience a lot more constipation in their gut. I'm curious, have you ever seen those correlations as well?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think of a girl who did a mindful eating course that I did, a few years back, and she was convinced that she could never eat beans because they always gave her like intense cramping. And beans, we know as dietitians, are high in fiber. They can take more work to digest in general, but we started applying, you know, things that around the gut brain access and how to relax and around food and start that intuitive eating work. And what she discovered was she was able to eat a bowl of chili, which she loves, full of beans and not have any cramping or any digestive woes. As a result of literally that emotional connection. And I can say from personal experience, I mean, to this day, if I'm anxious, I get stomach issues. And I know it's directly related to my emotional state. So yes and yes.
Yeah. And, you know, knowing this and understanding all of this is why, you know, it sometimes can be really infuriating when I hear stories around, you know, someone out there, it could be, you know, who knows who, or it could be a medical provider, right? You know, has maybe told someone to eliminate foods out of their diet to help those types of symptoms when it very well likely may or may not be related to the food at all. And in fact, telling somebody to cut XYZ out of their diet could actually be increasing fear and anxiety and worry and all of that, which is actually going to make someone's symptoms worse. So, you know, it's a little infuriating that, you know, we need to be looking at the body as this big, you know, big picture and understanding that all of these elements work together. It's not just put this food in and get this result. You know, we have all of these other elements and directors behind the scenes of our body that are, you know, really impacting someone's experience. And, you know, in fact, just like you, Beth, with the gal with the chili, I mean, we've seen this experience time and time and time again, where when somebody learns these elements about themselves and they're able to focus on more mindfulness and coming into a calmed state when eating, they're able to have such a more rich experience, you know, with eating, and they're able to eat more foods than what they ever thought that they, you know, ever could.
Yeah, Tammy. And I think, you know, it just reminds, hopefully this is a reminder to the listener that it's not just this all or nothing. It's not good food, bad food. There's more to the story. So that's really an invitation to likely work with somebody. If you do have a lot of digestive issues, work with someone who understands the dynamics. Mm-hmm. Because I will say that in my clinical practice, sometimes foods do cause issues, right? You know, we have real food allergies and autoimmune concerns that, you know, where the gut is not operating functionally. So there is a functional component to it. But what I learned in my practice, because I did work for a functional medicine doctor for quite a few years, is that it both have to be addressed. Mm-hmm. And if, like you said, just to reiterate, if you come into some type of elimination type of patterning with that fear and angst, it will not work. And I did see this in practice. You have to heal that relationship with food before you can really execute on a medical nutrition therapy plan that is going to be, in the long term, a positive and supportive thing for the healing of the body. So it's like, it's that reductionist thinking that can get us in trouble. So it's an invitation to expand your mind and say, hey, wait, my emotions can affect my gut too. Wow, that is pretty powerful stuff.
Yeah, and exactly. And I also want to highlight and agree that yes, sometimes food elimination does need to happen for, you know, certain situations. And I just want to reiterate also that what research has been showing is that gut-directed hypnotherapy, which we won't go into talking about exactly what that is today, but basically it's, you know, basically retraining the brain how to digest the foods on a very, you know, very calm and, you know, relaxed state, has been shown by research to have, if not just as much, but more effective than food elimination diets. So it's not harmful. So why not try it, right? And combine the powers of all of these things and work with somebody who understands the complexities of all of these avenues, right? What could your experience really look like if you're working with somebody who has these really deep knowledge, understandings of all of the pieces of the brain, how the heart coherence works, and the importance of the gut? You know, what could your experience be like if you're, you know, looking at all of those pieces? And before I go on to too much of a soapbox, I was thinking, Beth, let's maybe go through a summary of, you know, what does it look like when somebody is maybe experiencing something, you know, within their life? What's going to happen in each of these brains? Like, let's draw kind of a picture to wrap this up. So we can't provide maybe, you know, specific guidance via this podcast for every single experience that you as a listener might be experiencing in life. But we want to provide you with one kind of common example of how all of these brains, you know, work together, and they're working in synergy together. Beth, do you want to walk us through that?
Yeah. And I think that's something that most listeners can connect with, is this idea of stress, right? Who doesn't have at least some low level of stress, but likely mid or high level of stress. And just that experience, like, I have too much to do. I'll use that as an example just to help us understand and connect these three brains. But you will have this, I have too much on my to-do list. And that is one that I personally can resonate with. I think Tammy, you and I, we love our work, and sometimes it leads to this feeling of, too much to do. And, you know, our head brain is the one that we most typically lean on. And it's the one that goes into overthinking and might share information such as, this needs to be figured out right now, right? We need to figure this out. It's our unconscious brain is directing that, but there is this like urgency, right? And it's actually a thought. This needs to happen or be figured out right now. Now, that's how the head brain processes it, but the heart and the gut do something a little different. The heart might actually have that feeling. So the heart is a more feeling center of the body, and it may feel overwhelmed. This is where the heart can come out of coherence, and the emotion of overwhelm or maybe anxious emotions can lead to this heart feeling, the rhythm of the heart to be beating irregularly, and it leaves our feeling of overwhelm left behind. And then finally, the gut brain, right? The gut brain in this stressful experience of I have too much to do says I'm stuck and stagnant. And we might, from a physiological standpoint, experience stuckness and stagnancy in the gut itself. So Tammy mentioned constipation. It could be other things. It could be other chronic issues, but that stuckness and that stagnancy can show up in the gut as a result of that one life experience. So the reaction, you know, might look very different from the brain to the heart to the gut. You know, the brain might have a headache. The heart might feel confusion. The gut itself, like I said, might experience like IBS symptoms, constipation or diarrhea, or just feel generally unsettled. And this all of these three brains can influence the beliefs that we have about the life experience. And they might end up turning into these beliefs that I can't do this, or I'm not worthy of the thing because of X, Y, or Z reason. But it's processed through, just know it's not just processed through the head brain. Your heart and your gut are also part of that entire experience that can lead to our belief system about ourselves. Does that help?
Yeah. Thank you, Beth. Thank you for walking through that. So just to kind of, you know, reiterate here, right, is that no matter what it is you're experiencing, whether it's a lot of stress or maybe you're, again, trying to tap into that becoming an intuitive eater, right? It's not going to happen just through your head brain, because even if you're wanting to just, you know, change what your head brain is thinking, the reality is your heart is picking up these signals, your gut is picking up these signals, and all of these pieces need to really be in alignment in order to, you know, shift whatever it is that you're wanting to shift. As Beth mentioned, it may be shifting a belief, or it may be, you know, shifting a complete different way of eating and experiencing life. But all three of these brains within your body, you know, really do need to work together. So your transformational takeaway for this episode is, when you tap into all three of your brains, your brain, meaning your head brain, your heart, and your gut, is how you will really discover your inner nutritionist, which is really gently and lovingly will guide you in how to nourish yourself. Thank you so much for taking precious time out of your day to connect here. You listened because there is some part of you that is interested in learning to love your food, love yourself, and love your life. But if you're like most women, you have already been down this road before, wishing, hoping, and wanting for something to finally actually work, but things don't change. That being said, if you're committed to creating long-term change, then whatever you do, consider joining our brand new Uplift community. It's a private and safe Facebook community where you're supported by peers and two professional dietitians and intuitive eating counselors. Again, thank you so much for being here. Much love.